Good morning, this is Larry Phillips again, and we're now going to be talking about Jude, the book of Jude, very interesting book, very interesting warnings by the brother of James, and I think that it has some very valuable lessons for us to ponder, to learn, and so let's turn to that. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. You know, this verse is just full of good stuff. Jude definitely understood the sovereignty of God. He starts by saying he's a servant of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul calls himself the bondservant of Jesus Christ. Jude knew that he was a servant of Christ, not of his own will, not of his own free will, because he goes on and says to them that are sanctified by God the Father. Sanctified means set apart. To them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved. So here we have the doctrine of election in taught very strongly in the first chapter, in the first verse of the book of Jude. And preserved. And preserved means to be kept or to be not allowed to be penetrated by the evil one, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. So we have the calling, we have the sanctification, and we have the preservation. Verse 2, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, whom I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I wonder what faith he's earnestly contending for. I believe he's contending for the faith that he sets forth in the first verse. He's contending for the fact that we're servants of Christ, that we're sanctified, we're set apart by God the Father, that we're preserved in Jesus Christ, and we're the called. And then he goes on and says, for there are certain men crept in unaware who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. I'm going to stop right there. Certain men crept in unaware who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. You know, we very rarely hear, I can probably count on one hand the preachers I know that will actually preach on the doctrine of reprobation, that there are vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. For that would make God unrighteous, right? That's the argument in the ninth chapter of Romans. But here it says that these men were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ordained means that it was determined before that they would be condemned. Now, if we were to look on the other side, if they were not ordained to this condemnation, they would be ordained to something other than condemnation. So they would be ordained as vessels of wrath fitted for honor rather than for destruction. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. grace of God into lasciviousness, what are you actually doing? You're denying the grace of God. Lasciviousness is an interesting term, and it has to do with all types of immorality and corruption. Well, they're turning the grace of God into corruption. They're corrupting the grace of God, making the grace of God something other than what it is. And, you know, anytime we do that, we have a problem, because the grace of God is a pure thing. It points to Jesus Christ as the only place of glory. It doesn't glory in men. It places the grace of God is something that is so pure that nothing else can touch. The grace of God is something that is so absolutely remarkable that nothing else can even begin to compare with it. And so, if we know that the grace of God is that pure and so on, then why would we want to change it into something that's lewd or lustful? Why would we? Lasciviousness actually means lascivious means to lewd, to be lustful or to be lewd. Okay. In other words, we don't. We want to turn it into something other than what it is. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, denying the Lord Jesus Christ, denying our Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ, is also to deny his works, that what he did, what he accomplished, that he was slain before the foundation of the world, that he predestinated us, that he chose us, that he set us apart, that he preserved us, and that he called us. Verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Israel, Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. So he physically rescued some of these people that out of the land of Egypt, obviously were vessels of wrath for the destruction, people that did not have faith, people that did not believe. And then he says in 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Well, you know, these angels that kept not their first estate were non-elect angels. And we see a passage, I believe it's in Timothy, I'd have to look it up, to talk about the elect angels. So if there were elect angels, there are certainly non-elect angels. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, just as God has prepared vessels of wrath for honor and vessels of wrath for destruction, he also prepared angels who would remain faithful, like Michael and Gabriel. And he also prepared angels that would leave their first estate and not become faithful. He could have preserved all the angels if that had been in his master plan. But he did not. Verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner in giving themselves over to fornication and to and going after strange flesh are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Like Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. You know, any time that someone speaks evil of dignities or despise dominion, I think, when I think about despising dominion, I think about those who contend with the fact that God has the right to do with his own what he pleases. Hath not the potter power over the clay to make one vessel unto honor and one to dishonor? Verse 9, yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Does not bring again him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. See, that's back to the dominion thing. Despising dominion. You know, if we are not giving God the glory in all things, we're despising dominion. We are saying, you know, look, what gives you the right, Lord, to be Lord over us, right? Verse 10, but these speak evil of these things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beast, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Well, what was the way of Cain? Well, we know that the way of Cain was that he thought that he could make himself acceptable to God by the works of his own hands. He brought a sacrifice of the works of his own hands. He did not look to the shed blood of Jesus Christ, as his brother Abel did, bringing a representative of that blood sacrifice. Look, Cain and Abel knew that their mother and father had sinned against God, and that God had clothed them with animal skins. They knew that blood sacrifice had to be shed for the remission of sins. So these people have gone the way of Cain, meaning that they have decided to try to approach God in the works, in their own works. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. That's pretty strong language there. These people that are trying to approach God by the works of their own hands and not accepting the fact that God in his sovereignty chooses whom he wants to choose. God in his sovereignty has been slain before the foundation of the world for his elect. These other people that are denying that are what Jude says are wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And it says in Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration, because of advantages. And in other words, means showing certain respect for certain people. Okay. And but Beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. Who are these mockers? These mockers are people who say that God is not the one that is the author of salvation and the finisher of salvation. These mockers are people who are denying the Word of God. They're saying that you can climb up some other way. They're mocking the completed work of Jesus Christ. And so they're walking after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Jude's saying here, you know, continue in focusing on the unmerited favor of God, the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, looking at eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with full fear, pulling out of the fire, hating even of the garment spotted by the flesh. And you know, I just love the way that he ends this book, Jude. The way he ends is just priceless. Because he ends with the way he started, what we need to be focusing on. You know, they used to tell us I remember when I was taking composition in college, they would tell us that, you know, first you tell them what you want to tell them, then you tell them what you told them. Okay? Well, this is what Jude did. He started and he told them what he was going to tell them. Then he told them. And then he finishes by telling them what he told them. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of glory with exceeding glory to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever and ever. Amen. So he's saying here that, look, God's able to keep his elect from falling. God has all power. And he's able to keep us from falling, and he's able to present us faultless. Because how's he going to present us faultless? Well, because God is going to look upon the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that's how he's going to present us faultless before the presence of his glory. And God's going to have exceeding glory because he's going to see his Son. When he sees us, he's going to see that his Son has died for us and paid that price for us. And then he gives to the only God, our Savior, be glory. Despising dominions. Remember we talked about that earlier? Well, here he says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power. Both now and ever, amen. What a way to end this exhortation to by Jude to realize that we are servants of Jesus Christ. We are those who have been set apart by God. We have been preserved and we're kept in Jesus Christ, and we're called. Father, we thank you for this book that resonates your doctrine of election. It resonates your preservation. It resonates and gives all the majesty and glory to you. And it also sets forth why that there are those out there in the world who are fighting against your dominion and your power. And it tells us who those people are. Father, help us to continue in your grace, as we're admonished to here in Jude, to continue in your focusing on your love, and that we're to build up ourselves in the most holy faith and to look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and to eternal life. We ask these things in Christ's name, for your glory and dominion and majesty alone. Amen.